So we'll see the sun later in the day. Highs in the mid-70s. Expected to be very, very humid tomorrow, kids. Humid like it's raining, only without the rain. Lows around 70 degrees tomorrow night and humid. Friday gets a little bit drier, but it gets hot. Temperatures up to 90 degrees on Friday. Lows in the mid-60s Friday night. Saturday, still lower humidity. Look for some showers in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-70s. Lows around 70 Saturday night. And on Sunday, the first day of football, but not here in Massachusetts because they're playing the Cardinals Sunday night. That's an away game. But Sunday, thunderstorms in the afternoon. Temperatures around about 80 degrees. Low around 60 degrees Sunday night. And then Monday, that autumn feel returns with a high in the mid-70s, very low humidity, cool, crisp, comfortable air. So there we go. You got one last shot at summer on Friday. Take the day off. Go to the beach. Could be your last opportunity to do that for quite some time. Mm. When we come back here on WMFO Medford, all the other stuff that happened that caught our attention, did you hear right after this?
This is Sarah Beck, Consumer Meat Specialist for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, with a few suggestions on handling frozen meat. If you buy meat that is already frozen, be sure to place it in your freezer as soon as you get home. If you can't go directly home with your purchase, the packages can be wrapped in newspaper, for example, to prevent thawing. While freezer storage is a convenient way to keep meat, be sure you check the recommended storage time for each type of meat, and date the packages so you'll know which to use first. If stored too long, meat will begin to lose its flavor, but it will still be wholesome. It's best to thaw meat in the refrigerator. If you don't use the meat once it's thawed, you can safely refreeze it as long as it remains in good condition. For more free information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story.
One night, I was at a bar. I was having fun with my friends. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react.
The cabbie barely had time to react.
The cab swerved. I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He's Derek Airy, and I am Lisa Nichols, here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9. And as always, we want you to be a part of the show, and the way that you do that, you give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. And it's time for Did You Hear, the part of the show where Derek and I quiz each other by using one, two, three words. And we have to give the story behind it.
Yeah. Or in Lisa's case, something wildly in the ballpark that she's going to beg and plead for half credit for, even though it's not the story.
I don't know what you're talking about, Derek.
Yeah, gee, that never happens around here.
Well, I'm going to start, of course. Brachnoid. Brachnoid.
What?
Brachnoid. B-R-A-C. N-O-I-D. Brachnoid.
Oh, God. I heard something about this the other day. Brachnoid. Is that the guy that ruins pizza? Avoid the Bracknoid, called Domino's?
It is not.
Bracknoid. I heard this. I can't remember what it was, but I heard this.
At a whopping 176 points, this is your new winning word for the World Scrabble Champion.
That's right, the Scrabble thing. Yes. I read this yesterday. Yeah.
Wow, we're having like role reversal here, because that's usually the reaction.
I immediately recognized it, and I'm like, what is the context for that?
I mean, this, it piqued my interest too, of course, because I am a huge Scrabble fan. Derek and I, our viewers may not know this, we do go to a bar after the show and discuss the show, but sometimes we break out the Scrabble board because, again, we like to prove our wits and smarts to each other. And I believe I'm up 2-1 still. We played 3 times.
No, we're tied.
Are we?
Played twice. We haven't played a third time.
I thought we played 3 times.
No. You've talked about it, and it never happens.
Even though, do you still have it in your trunk?
Oh, yeah. No, it's in the back seat of my car. It's waiting.
It might happen.
Waiting.
Well, so it was following 3 rounds, and Brett Smitherin, 37, he's a recruitment consultant from East London. He was crowned the World Scrabble Champion. This was done in France. He beat rival Mark Nyman 3-0. He was a quarterfinalist in 2014, and he said he prepared by reading the dictionary several hours every night.
Yeah.
Oh, and taking long endurance, stress-reducing runs. Yeah. Running and reading.
Son of a whore.
Yeah. What do you got?
Son of a whore.
Oh, son of a whore.
That's your clue, son of a whore.
Huh. Son of a whore.
Son of a whore.
Well, somebody clearly was called son of a whore.
Yeah, somebody was.
And I don't know who. You're giving me that look. I hate that look.
You should know this one.
Son of a whore.
Yeah.
Nope.
Posted it on the Facebook feed.
Oh, yes, Obama was called son of a whore.
Oh, now she gets it.
By the, I believe it was the Filipino prime minister or president.
The president, Rodrigo Duterte,
yes.
Called the U.S. president Barack Obama son of a whore or son of a bitch, whichever you prefer.
See, yeah, if you said son of a bitch, I wouldn't know that.
As he was departing for the ASEAN summit in Laos, Obama responded by calling Duterte a colorful guy and canceling a planned sideline meeting. In the exact quote, which was in a mixture of English and Tagalog, which is the language of the Philippines, and this came in response to the United States criticizing the extrajudicial killings of about 2,000 people, because Duterte was elected on a mandate to rid the Philippines of drug dealers, which they're doing by just murdering people.
Yeah, he's been a little bit defensive about those, 21 suspected drug users and dealers that have been killed.
So here we go. This is what he had to say. It is pretty worked up when he said this. Quote, I am a president of a sovereign state, and we have long ceased to be a colony. I do not have any master except the Filipino people. Nobody but nobody. You must be respectful. Do not just throw questions. Putang ina. I will swear at you in that forum. Putang ina, by the way, is a Tagalog insult, meaning son of a whore. So
yeah, he threw a little shade at President Obama, in warning not to question.
As did the Chinese, who could not seem...
The human rights of these people.
As did the Chinese, who could not seem to get the mobile staircase over to Air Force One, forcing President Obama to leave through the door in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. G20 summit's not doing too well for President Obama.
Putang ina. Mm. That's a little Tagalog that might get you beaten up.
Disney World.
That's the one in California?
Nope, that's Disneyland.
Disney World. That's the one in Florida?
With the Zika, yes.
That's the one in Florida with the Zika. Is this related to the young man kid that was eaten by the crocodile?
Nope.
Disney World. I know what's happening.
Big story that actually came out today.
I know what's happening at Disneyland. They're shutting down Hollywood's Tower of Terror and replacing it with a new ride. I think it's going to be Guardians of the Galaxy themed. Disney World, no.
So today it was announced in an effort to combat fraud, children between the ages of 3 and 9 are now going to have their fingers scanned when entering any Disney World theme park. So before, you didn't have to. Apparently, some local Orlando Sentinel, they've reported that it's a new requirement in place to block the use of stolen and shared tickets. So kids were coming in, you know, your three-year-old, you give it to your friend, they can use it for the next time if you haven't used up all your days on your pass, because they don't scan it.
Is Disney really that hard up for the money right now? Didn't they just make $1 billion off of the Captain Americas?
I don't think the one in Shanghai is doing as well as they hope.
But I mean, that's the kind of, look, yeah. I understand that you have a right to collect admission from everybody who comes in. But that's the sort of nickel and diming stuff where you're asking for fingerprint identification from a child for nothing more than accounting and Wall Street purposes. Mm-hmm. That really annoys the American people. It's a bad look for Disney. I'm going to say that. Troy Aikman. It's Football Eve, so we have to do a football thing.
Yeah. Well, I know who he is.
Football Eve! My God, it's Football Eve.
He played for the Cowboys. He was an amazing quarterback for them.
I almost put on Most Wonderful Time of the Year on the playlist tonight, and I was going to dance around and talk and yell football.
He is now a commentator. I don't know. Was this today?
This was yesterday.
Well, it definitely has something to do with Dallas football.
Is that a Tyrell Corporation shirt that you're wearing, Joel?
It is.
Wow. He's got a Tyrell Corporation shirt on.
I don't know. What is it?
I want one. Troy Aikman had a few things to say about the latest hire by Fox News. Skip Bayless has been brought on by the network. And back in 1996, apparently Aikman has a very long memory. Back in 1996, in his book Hellbent, Skip Bayless accused Troy Aikman of being gay. Or suggested that Troy Aikman was gay. Aikman had this to say to Sports Illustrated over the weekend. Quote, I believe success is achieved by acquiring and developing talented, respected, and credible individuals, none of which applies to Skip Bayless. That's about as harsh a public comment as I've heard anyone in the NFL.
I'm assuming they're not going to be on the same
or anyone on the broadcast side of things. And you know what? If I'm Troy Aikman, maybe I want to keep quiet about this because the networks have been doing a pretty good job of shuffling off the old vets and replacing them with younger vets so that you get a more modern perspective of the game. And Aikman in the broadcast booth really ain't that good. So something tells
me he's not that bad.
Something tells me, oh, come on.
I said he's not that bad.
He's with Joe Buck. And Joe Buck is
completely rules.
Joe Buck is the worst, hands down.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm saying you can barely get a word in edgewise. But he's not bad. I'm not going to tune out because he's that awful. But it's not also that I tune in because he's so forward-thinking in the game and I enjoy his commentary.
Just compared to guys like Phil Simms, Aikman's not even in the wheelhouse. Or Collinsworth. I mean, Collinsworth isn't even there half the time, I don't think. But he still throws some good stuff out there. Aikman just bores me to death.
I mean, you couldn't even pull in, you know, Michael Strahan. I think he's great.
Strahan's fantastic. Yeah. So, if I'm Aikman, I'm not throwing stones on this one because I think Skip Bayless...
I would like to know what his contract is. I'm sure it's in pretty for another couple years.
Yeah, they'll rewrite those contracts in a heartbeat. I think Skip Bayless has a better shot at a future with Fox Sports than Troy Aikman probably does. Mm-hmm. So, just my two cents.
I'm going to give you 500.
That is the number of homicides in Chicago so far in 2016. That is the deadliest... it's been in Chicago in 70 years?
Well, since the 1990s.
Okay, so 26, but I mean, 20 years.
Chicago really is on track for reaching over 600. Chicago's, it was 700, I believe it was 700 and something in the mid-90s. And I mean, that was amid gang violence, crack cocaine epidemic that was going on. The deadliest month was June 1993 when 92 people were killed. This past Labor Day weekend, 13 people were killed, bringing it up to 500.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yep. Yeah, don't hear much about Rahm Emanuel these days, do you?
Yeah, he's hiding.
I wonder why that is.
Hiding under his bulletproof desk.
I wonder why Obama and Hillary aren't talking about Obama's former chief of staff. Huh. Interesting. Diddy.
P. Diddy.
P. No, I think it's just Diddy now.
Is it?
He'll always be Puff Daddy to me.
You've thrown in the entertainment ones. I don't know.
Yeah, I expect you know these. Diddy, it was number one on the Forbes annual list of hip-hop cash kings.
Yeah, you think I read that?
This was a huge story.
Was it?
Yeah, this was on every news outlet today and on the radio and on the television.
You knock me when I bring up Beyonce's Lemonade, and you still can't get over that. I was so surprised you didn't know that because it was one of the biggest stories, especially in music. And you're surprised that I don't know this.
This is the number one entertainment story of the day.
Oh, was it?
Yes. And whenever there's a list.
Not the Fox News.
Whenever there's a list. That was yesterday.
Over. Oh, they were still talking
about it
today. The
Gretchen Carlson thing broke yesterday afternoon.
They were talking about it all day today.
But that's not an entertainment story. That's a news story.
If you had said Taylor Swift, which apparently also was the biggest news story today in entertainment, that she has broken up with Tom Hiddleston.
That thing died within an hour. This has been all over the place all day.
So he's still reigning supreme at number one.
He is number one on. You're just angry because you didn't know it. He is number one.
Kanye West.
He's number one. Oh, Kanye isn't even here.
Really?
Diddy was number one. This is the Forbes. They've been doing this for 10 years now, the Forbes list of hip-hop cash kings. Diddy was number one. Jay-Z was number two. Dr. Dre is number three. And he's making all his money just on Ciroc vodka endorsements now. Mm-hmm. He still tours a little bit, but...
Ciroc.
Not really making the money off of that. Drake was number four. And Drake will probably move up that list next year. Wiz Khalifa was number five.
Really?
Yeah. The only woman on the list.
Beyonce.
Only one woman on the list. No, because she's not hip-hop. She's considered R&B and soul.
Hip-hop, Nicki Minaj?
Nicki Minaj came in at number six. Only woman on the list.
How is Kanye West not on this list?
Because Diddy and Jay-Z and Dr. Dre and Drake and Wiz are making more money.
So the Yeezus sneakers aren't working out for him?
I don't know. I think he was top 10.
Spending all that money on Kim Kardashian.
This, by the way, makes me weep for the United States of America because Macklemore and Ryan Lewis came in 14th.
Yeah, they're shopping at the thrift store.
I have to remind everybody, that's a joke act. That's Weird Al Yankovic of hip-hop. Stop buying the Macklemore records. Stop giving it credibility.
People like it.
They like it for the wrong... They don't understand what it is. They don't understand that it's all just parody. And that by buying those albums, they are the joke. That's what you are if you like Macklemore. You are a joke.
Millennials are not that intelligent.
I know.
All right, I'm going to give you... Edward Snowden.
Edward Snowden. New details have emerged about his escape from the United States ahead of the release of the Oliver Stone film. And I guess this is going to be in the movie.
What perfect timing this comes out.
He left, as I understand it, he left Hawaii and there were a bunch of Indonesians that took him in and eventually helped him move along to Hong Kong and then to Russia.
Yeah, these were refugees from Indonesia and they were in Hong Kong and in a very wealthy area. But these were people that, you know, couldn't even leave their house with the fear of getting persecuted and being deported. And also couldn't send their children to school. So took him in. He would be getting deliveries of McDonald's, sweets, cakes. And there would be USB ports embedded in some of them. So he was able to eat them, but also getting the information from that. And then, you know, there was those few days that he was in the hotel. But there were a lot of mysteries circling where he was for those missing days. So now we know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know. I think overall of the two big bios coming out this fall, I'm more interested in the movie about Sullenberger that Clint Eastwood did than the Snowden movie. I'm going to see them both, obviously, because they're both going to be Oscar contenders.
Yeah, I want to see both.
But the Tom Hanks is Sullenberger. That that looks fantastic. That looks really good. Son of a Horror, we've covered that already. Putang Ina. Putang Ina. Chlorine.
In the sense of using it in a pool. Yeah. Oh, no, chlorine.
Talked about it on the way into the station
yep,
tonight.
Chlorine, Lisa, I know this. Nobody likes chemical weapons.
Yep.
Well, Team Assad in Syria.
Whoa. Allegedly.
Team Assad poured some chlorine and dumped them in the by air control. And killed, I think, what were we up to, 100 people as of this afternoon, dead?
By air control.
By controlled air.
I'm letting you off the hook on that one because I know that you're struggling with allergies right now.
By medicine.
Air control, yeah. They actually aid workers, international aid workers, yeah. are accusing the Assad regime of dropping chlorine gas on Aleppo, injuring 80 people. The Russians...
It's 80. I believe it might be up to 100 people as of this afternoon.
When the last time I looked at the story, they were up to 80. That wouldn't surprise me. I don't think anybody died from this one, which means they're getting good at treating the chlorine, mm-hmm. which means they're doing it a lot. The Russians, meanwhile, have said that rebels are firing shells full of chlorine into Aleppo.
Mm. I mean, the thing is, Syria is a mess. You basically have this country that's in the middle of like a 5-year civil war. It's killed over 400,000 people. It cost how many million? 11 million people to leave their homes. You know, so both of these sides, whether we're talking about the rebels, whether we're talking about Assad, it's a complete mess. And then in between all of this, we have ISIS just coming in and out, running here and there, and now chemical weapons, which I'm sure you know is a war crime.
Remember,
people don't look fondly on chemical weapons.
Remember when Obama said that chemical weapons were red line?
Mm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Because we're not being reminded of that.
I believe that was back in 2013 when, you know, the attack was launched by Assad.
Yeah.
And he killed more than 1,000 people. And then we said, you can't use said chemical weapons. He said, well, here's all of them. Wink, wink.
Well, it's not like you need anything special
to
make chlorine.
But also, do you really think that he got rid of all the chemical weapons?
Even if he did, it's not that hard to make chlorine gas. Anybody can do it. So, even the rebels. Who knows? Whoever's dropping the chlorine over there, please stop. Okay? Fight the war like decent human beings.
Jacob Wetterling.
This is your last one, right?
Yes. Jacob Wetterling.
Jacob Wetterling is the 11-year-old boy who disappeared in Minnesota.
It is Minnesota Field.
His killer confessed some 20 years later. This was a gentleman who had a fondness for little boys. And on the evening that Wetterling disappeared, he camped out in his car waiting for Wetterling, his brother, and a couple of friends to return home from the video store. Pointed a gun, handcuffed Wetterling, told everybody else to go, and then took Wetterling and raped and killed him and will spend the rest of his life in prison, mm-hmm. Which is probably more kindness than he deserves. No sympathy whatsoever for that gentleman. Phyllis Schlafly.
I know this name. She died.
Yes, she did.
She was a conservative activist.
Yes, she was.
I believe she was, what, 90 something?
92.
What'd she do? I think she was known in the 70s for the civil action, civil rights. 70, something in the 70s. I know that.
She was known for a lot of things in the 1970s. And the 1980s and the 1990s.
It was something about civil rights and equal rights. Yeah.
Phyllis Schlafly is largely credited with defeating the Equal Rights Amendment.
Ooh.
During the, you're close.
What?
You're close.
I said who it was. I said she died. I said she was in her 90s. She was a conservative activist.
Can I just point out that when I don't get something, I don't sit here and beg for the point.
Okay. I gave you everything you needed.
I don't sit here and beg for the point.
I just need a few moments to bring my thoughts together.
You get the point anyway, even though you were trapped in the depths of your ignorance. And this is a name that you should know.
But I got it.
Phyllis Schlafly was the leading female conservative voice of the 1970s and 1980s and the 1990s. The ideological rival and enemy of Betty Friedan, who was leading the women's movement in this country. Schlafly is credited with blocking passage of the Equal Rights Amendment, which she thought was going to be bad for women, among other reasons because women would have been drafted. And she's also credited with helping Ronald Reagan win the White House in the 1980s. She ushered in an era of Republican women, conservatives, who really shaped the political landscape from the early 1970s into the mid-1980s, at which point Ronald Reagan squandered everything by firing the Petco workers, turning the unions against the Republican Party, and we have the mess we have today.
Hmm. Not bad.
It's a name you should know. It's a name that everybody should know, and it's a name that everybody should understand who she was and what she did, because she was actually one of the most thoughtful and one of the nicest people to be a large-scale political rabble-rouser. She did everything without calling names, without straw-man arguments, without insults, without yelling, without stamping her feet. She did it all with kindness and logic, and was one of the most important and most influential American women of the late 20th century. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO, if you prefer to spell things on your phone. Call in, be a part of the show. When we come back, rape culture, alive and well in our courts. We're going to make the case for that and why these lenient sentences might not be the best thing for the accused, right here on WMFO Medford.
Nothing. Well, kind of nothing. I think the condom might have broken.
Broken?
Yeah, this is not good.
Okay, relax.
Relax? I mean, what are the chances of that? It's like...
Surreal?
Yeah. This isn't supposed to happen. We're being responsible here.
Okay, well, don't panic.
Don't panic? How can you say that?
Being responsible means having a backup plan, like emergency contraception, or EC for short. When you begin taking EC within 72 hours, it could prevent pregnancy. It's not an abortion pill and it won't prevent HIV or other STDs, but it's a great backup plan.
It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be fine.
What? I thought you'd be the one to freak.
Well, I've got EC.
Oh. Oh, no, that's just great. What's EC?
For more information or to get EC in advance, ask your healthcare provider or call 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE. That's 1-888-NOT-2-LATE. EC, because shit happens. Brought to you by the Pacific Institute for Women's Health.
For the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, I'm Dr. Tom Shives. Backpacks are a popular way for children and teens to carry school books and supplies. But if backpacks are too heavy, or if they're not worn correctly, that can be a problem. They can cause pain in the muscles and joints, especially in the back, neck, and shoulder. Here are some tips for using backpacks safely. Choose a backpack with two wide, padded shoulder straps and a waist strap. That will help distribute the weight. Always use both shoulder straps and tighten the straps so the pack is close to the body and sits 2 inches above the waist. Pack heavier items closest to the center of the back. Even when it's full, a backpack shouldn't weigh more than 15 to 20% of the weight of the person carrying it. So if your child weighs 100 pounds, they shouldn't be carrying more than 20 pounds in the backpack. Following these simple steps can help your backpack work for you, not against you. For more information, visit the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons online at aaos.org.
WMFO Medford, I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary. This is The Big Picture, here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9, and you can call the station at 855-915-9636. Now, a sentence recently handed out in an East Longmeadow sexual assault case. It's been widely criticized, very much as the last Labrie case that came out, that it was too light, and that America, especially in the courts, are taking this rape culture in sentences far too lenient. Now, as we discovered, Boston Globe did an article. It was a couple days ago they put it out, and they looked at some of the cases that recently had been handed down. And it's really not out of the ordinary that in a Massachusetts courtroom, somebody with no prior conviction of sexual assault or any sort of misdemeanor gets only probation. So this is the story of 18-year-old David Becker. I'm sure you heard it in the news. Again, East Longmeadow, he was a senior at the high school, white, rich athlete.
He's in East Longmeadow. Of course he's rich.
Palmer District Judge Thomas Estes, on August 15th, he sentenced David Becker to 2 years probation. This was after the teen admitted to assaulting one unconscious high school classmate and acknowledged he'd likely be found guilty of doing the same to another. So the story comes that he and these two girls were cleaning up after a party. They happened to fall asleep in one bed upstairs in a bedroom. And both girls had come forward and said that they had found basically Mr. Becker using his finger to penetrate them.
Yes.
He admitted to one, didn't admit to the other one. One of the students that was a victim of this had multiple witness statements that were put forth in the court. One did not. Whether that was why he got such a lenient conviction, I don't know. I mean, I can't get in the head of the judge and why he would.
Let me set the table for this, because as a rule of thumb, in general, when somebody mentions the phrase rape culture, I tune out. Because, not because I'm not interested in hearing what that person has to say, but because I generally believe that there is a little bit of hysteria. Mm-hmm. Not that there could be hysteria around the crime of rape, but there is a level of hysteria around the institutional acceptance of rape in this country. It is not as bad as some people would make it out to be.
And I'm not using that in this statement.
With one glaring exception. And that one glaring exception seems to be males between the ages of 16 and 21 who are white, who are wealthy, who have successful parents, and have the whole world ahead of them. They have their whole lives ahead of them to do great things. Oh, we can't tarnish their reputation.
Well, generally,
we can't delay their ascension into the greatness of their adulthood by putting them in jail for raping somebody.
Derek, generally when we talk about rape culture, and we've talked about it on the show before when we had brought up the Rolling Stones article and this big hoopla that went around the rape culture in college. And this is actually not the problem. The rape culture that I talk about is exactly what you just pointed out. The fact that we have kids, not adults, that are going into college. And for the majority, this is high school. These are people that are going into the next step of their life. And God forbid their life, their reputation be tarnished with a sexual predator name tag on it. God forbid you need to put your name on the sex offender list for raping.
So here's what David Becker did. David Becker and two of his classmates, they're all seniors at East Longmeadow. They're at a party. They're drinking. They all fall asleep on the same bed. One girl wakes up and discovers that Mr. Becker's hand is down her pants. She gets up and leaves because she did not want to be involved with that. Later on, the other girl that had fallen asleep next to him finds the same thing, that Mr. Becker is digitally penetrating her. She knocks his hand away a couple of times. He keeps doing it. Okay. I think most women would define that as rape.
Yeah.
That's unwanted penetration. That's rape. One of the attorneys involved in this said that it only rises to the standard of sexual assault, that there is somehow a difference between violating a woman's body with one's finger and violating a woman's body with anything else. So apparently in the eyes of this attorney, only the penis counts.
Mm-hmm.
That is clear and utter nonsense. By the way,
this is also, may I say, though, the judge, the attorney, Thomas, Rook, he had said, quote, "We all made mistakes when we were 17, 18, and 19 years old. We shouldn't be branded for life with a felony offense and branded a sexual offender. One moment or one mistake at one moment on one night, which was clouded with alcohol.
This is not one mistake. He did this to two different girls. And here, by the way, is the sentence for Mr. Baker. There actually is no sentence because the case has been continued without finding. So he's not actually charged with anything. He gets 2 years of probation, which he can serve in Ohio, where he's going to college. Isn't that generous? We're going to let him go to college, where he can get drunk and pass out with women and presumably do the same thing to them there. He doesn't have to register as a sex offender. And if he doesn't get in trouble for the next 2 years, it disappears from his record. It never happened. There are some assumptions, and I already told you about the one big one, where we have an attorney saying this doesn't rise to the level of rape, it's sexual assault. That's nonsense. And that attorney should be disbarred for saying that. And at the very least, should have a large number of women show up at his house and explain to him loudly that, yes, that is rape. Mm-hmm. Okay? If you put part of your body or anything into a woman's body against her will, that's rape. Period. End of story. But there is this gray area. And this gray area is fueled by this nonsensical idea that a young man between the ages of 16 and 21, maybe a little bit older, maybe a little bit younger, simply cannot control himself, simply has no idea what's right and what's wrong when it comes to women. And that if women consume alcohol and women pass out and women are in spaces with these young men, how can we possibly hold them accountable for taking advantage of that situation, especially if the young man has also been drinking, thereby lowering his inhibitions? Your Honor, he had a drink, he lost all sense of right and wrong, and he started touching these girls.
This is what is so insane to me, because we're not talking just about the attorneys that are being paid to let these, or attempt to get these men off, to have no record. But these are parents that are coming forward and saying, please, don't blame my son. He didn't know what he was doing. Alcohol, drugs, When has it been okay in our society that we give a pass to that?
But it's, well, it's always been okay because the parents have always been able to buy their way out of these things.
This is insane to me. And we've talked about it before, how difficult it is for a woman to come forward and say that. But no, for the most part in these cases, what happens is we side with the perpetrator. We side with the person doing the action and not even thinking about the woman. Yeah, what? So, she's still alive. She's fine. Do you understand that somebody that is sexually assaulted, somebody that is raped, basically dies inside? How difficult it is for them to come forward?
No. These are just kids who made a mistake, Lisa. These are just kids who made a mistake. They don't know what they're doing. There's no long term.
It's like somebody has been maimed and lost an arm or leg. This is with you for the rest of your life.
This has been a problem in our society for generations. It used to be among the wealthy classes that when something like this happened, the family of the young woman would go to the family of the young man, and the family of the young man would say, how big of a check would you like? And they would write a check, and it would be forgotten, and it would never go to court. Now, young women are rightfully empowered, and when this happens, they're going to trial. Owen Labrie is going to trial. David Becker is going to trial.
Oh, Owen Labrie is actually out as of yesterday. He served 3 months of the 6 months that he was convicted of for raping.
He was supposed to get a year for violating probation.
For raping a woman behind a dumpster who is unconscious.
That's Brock Turner. That's not Owen
Brock
Labrie.
Turner.
Owen Labrie was the senior salute.
Yes.
At the private school.
But Brock Turner.
Brock Turner.
But this is how crazy it is. We can think of so many names.
Yeah.
With the same exact situation.
Because,
and again, same thing. It's a male between the ages of 16 and 21. White. Has money.
You bring up the parents, and the parents are certainly a problem in this. But you've got to expect that the parents are going to shield their kids. You bring up the attorneys. Attorneys are going to take the case because they're going
to get... No, not all parents are going to shield their kids. I have plenty of friends that I've had a discussion with about if they had their son rape a girl, they could not live with themselves. They could not actually go in front of a judge and say, please be lenient on my son.
If you are a Vanderbilt, a Rockefeller, a Kennedy.
Because they don't care, but you can't generalize parent is going to.
If you are part of one of those power families, you are going to spend every last penny to keep your kid out of jail. Because that's your legacy. That's the future.
Well, they live in this world of delusion, thinking that the girl threw her vagina on this man.
Yes. Well, it's because my son is rich, Your Honor. It's because she's trying to get something out of the family that she took advantage of him. Now, as I say, that is a historic problem in this country. Women are going to the courts now. What women are finding when they go to the courts is that there seems to be this area between 16 and 21 where young men can do whatever. He wasn't in control, Your Honor. But here's the thing. You bring up the parents. Parents are a problem. Parents have always been a problem. You bring up the attorneys. The attorney's just there getting paid. The attorney gets a check either way. Mm-hmm. The attorney's job is to try and make the case. If anything, I have more sympathy for the attorneys than anybody else. Because the attorneys in some cases know that the kid's a loser. No, the kid did this, but you're getting paid. You're probably on retainer with the family to deal with situations like this. So it's either take it or kiss your paycheck goodbye. Mm-hmm. It's a tough spot to be in. I have a problem with the judges. The judges are the biggest problem here because the judges are the ones looking at this circus and saying, you know what? He's a good boy. He doesn't have any problems. Let's bend the rules for him a little bit. I don't want to wreck his life. For whatever reason the judges are saying this, it's wrong. Because that young woman's life has already been wrecked. And what the courts are telling young women between the ages of 16 and 21 in this country is that your pain and suffering is less important than the potential future of your rapist. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Really?
And we're talking about the state's top district court judge. He comes out and says this court case procedures were lawful. He declined to review the matter. You go to court because these women that this happens to, they don't want money. They don't care. They want to find, if they even do come forward, just that little bit of justice.
They want
served to the person that did this to them, that did this and is going to stay with them for the rest of their life. How are you supposed to go to court and find justice when there is none?
What you hear over and over again from victims of rape or survivors of rape is that they want two things. They want their attacker to be punished, and they want to make sure it never happens to anybody else. That's why they want incarceration. Is because incarceration at least keeps this guy off the streets for a little while. And if he really is a good kid who made a mistake, you know what? A couple of years in prison will make
Learn
sure
your
he
lesson.
Never makes that mistake again. But when you give him a slap on the wrist and say, go to college, don't get in trouble, nothing is learned. Now, the one possibly good thing that may come out of this is these stories are hitting the internet now. And in cases, and keep in mind, we're talking about people who have been convicted. Owen Labrie, convicted. David Becker, basically continued without cause, but guilty as far as the court's concerned. Mm-hmm. He went in and said, yeah, there's probably enough evidence here to get me on this thing. And of course, our dear friend, the poster boy for all of this, which is Mr. Brock Turner, who is the
Stanford
swimmer who spent 3 months in jail for raping an unconscious woman. Well, it was an interesting night at his house the other night because a group of young men carrying assault weapons, he lives in Ohio, so this is legal, carrying assault weapons showed up at his house and basically to send a message that he better be on his guard. Here's what Daniel Harden, who showed up with an M4 assault rifle, told a reporter, quote, with an extremely lenient sentence, he can think, I can get away with this. The message we want to send is, if you try this again, we will shoot you.
That's amazing.
We might want to reevaluate what the courts are doing before vigilante justice kicks in. Now, we can call this just desserts for Mr. Brock Turner, who is probably crapping his pants from the safety of a locked closet in his bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
But the next time this happens, maybe somebody gets shot. And then we have to go into the whole thing about, well, why aren't the courts doing anything about this? Oh, because he was a good young man. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he was a good young man. You want to talk about diversion programs that are going to keep him off the street for 2 years? Fine. We have standards. We have laws.
And you can't say just because somebody doesn't have any prior convictions. What, so just in their high school years, they got lucky and they only had to call their parents at the high school parties?
There are going to
That's why you're going to give them probation. Again, we're not talking about, you know, slapping a woman. We're talking about rape.
These cases are tricky. Now, let's be fair. These cases can be tricky. Especially if we're talking about 16 to 18 year olds who don't necessarily know what they're doing. We're having a little bit to drink.
And again, I say how difficult it is for the women to come forward. Many of them just want to have a witness statement. They don't want to be in court. That's where it starts getting fuzzy and you don't have victims or witnesses on the stand.
This is not me making an excuse for anybody, by the way. This is me saying that there are complicated things that happen when you're young and you're experimenting. That consent should always be a given. If you don't have consent, you don't do anything. But there are gray areas. At the same time, looking at this guy, Becker, who assaults two women, there's no gray area there. Right? This guy's taking advantage of these girls, clearly. This wasn't heavy petting that went too far. They're passed out. He's got his hand down their pants. He goes to jail. That's rape. We're not talking about they'd been going out for 5 years and the condom broke and now everybody's freaked out. This was a sexual assault. This was a rape. And this guy should not be walking. 855-915-9636. 855-915-WMFO on the web. Facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO. It is the Big Picture. We got about 8 minutes left. We're going to get in a song, our favorite things from the past week, the strangest stories from the past week. And coming up at 9 o'clock, On the Town with Mikey D. We'll be here to bring you everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. We will be back right after this.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends. Like my father's come to pass, 7 years has gone so fast. Wake me up when September ends. The rain again, falling from the stars, drenched in my pain again, becoming who we are. As my memory rests, but never forgets what I lost, wake me up when September ends.
September. I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome.
WMFO Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, and this is The Big Picture. And it's time for What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week's news. Just this afternoon, of course, Mayor Marty Walsh and the TD Garden owners, they unveiled the new plan for City Hall Plaza. Did you happen to see this?
No.
So, they've been talking about it for a while, and it's a much less ambitious plan than originally drawn up, because the company came in, didn't like how it was running. So, this is a dumbed-down version of it, but it's still really cool. Essentially, what's happening, starting in October, they're going to have the first phase. It's going to be a beer garden. There's going to be ice skating that's you're going to be able to do in City Hall Plaza. And 50 to 60 holiday vendors that they're calling chalets. So, outdoor shopping for the holidays.
So, they're going to have a Christmas market with skating.
Yeah, it's something pretty cool. I mean, there's nothing going on in there except the holes in the brickwork that I fell in once. But, yeah, anyway.
So that could be different. That could be fun.
So definitely check it out. Keep your eye open. End of October.
Nice. According to veterinarians and according to a journal, you like cats, right? You love cats.
Yes.
I know that you spend time in a place that has a cat in it now, so you've learned to appreciate them. Well, according to a paper published in the Journal of Feline Medicine and Surgery, you can solve a lot of behavior problems with cats by making them work for their food.
Really?
Cats are natural foragers, so if you make them work for their food instead of just handing it to them, they lose weight. One cat in this study lost about 20 pounds because they forced it to, or he lost 20% of his body weight because they forced him to work for his food, and other cats ended aggressive behavior and attention-seeking behavior and things like that.
Yeah, I know a fat cat. Then maybe we
so, you can go out...
You might need to utilize it.
You can go out and buy one of these things, or you can just make one yourself. All you really need to do is take a 2-liter soda bottle, cut some holes into it that the dry food can come out of, throw the food in there, throw it on the floor, and the cat will figure out the rest.
Hmm.
And your cat will be happy.